What is raging at my feet? I can feel the breath of those surrounding me. I can hear the sound of nations rising up. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. I can walk down this dark and painful road. I can face every fear of the unknown. I can hear all God's children singing out. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. The same power that arose Jesus from the grave, the same power that commanded
transformation, chained down to the core. Love is real and I can't With all creation I sing praise to the Good evening, everyone. This is Jerry. Just a few things for today. The first thing I think we're going to do is start with a prayer, and we're particularly thinking about our mama, Pat, and her family, and her family right now. And so I think we're going to do that right off the bat. Father, we thank you for everything that you have brought into our lives. We trust you completely for it. That's what we do. And we know you've been with us every step of the way in each of our circumstances. You've called us to go through some things, and all people in their lives face challenges and difficulty because this is a broken world. On this occasion, Mama Pat is on our hearts and minds, and we know that I know that she's trying to get some rest, and we praise you. Thank you for that opportunity, and we know that your hand of comfort and guidance will be on everyone involved in these health circumstances, and mostly involve her daughter, but there's a lot of family members involved, and so we thank you because we trust you and we know you're in this completely. We ask your peace and comfort over everyone involved, that your will would be done in every particular way, and that your presence would be known and that you would be glorified in all these circumstances, and that the caregivers as well as all of Pat's family are fully motivated and surrounded by your love and care. We trust you for that. We know that it's true, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to bring on Tana, because I have Tana on the line. She's available. Hi, Tana.
Hello. I love you all. Hi.
Hi.
I love you, Jesus.
Tana.
Love you, Jesus. Love you, Mama Pat. Prayers up for you, and I agree in Jesus' name. I agree, amen, with Jerry's prayer. We're thinking of you, and we knew you. We know you're in charge, and you will make the best of the situation, whatever it may be.
Yep.
Jesus' name, we pray, amen.
Amen.
So,
Hi, Carol. Sorry, I didn't want to cut you off. Go ahead.
I was like, I love you, Rosemary, Jason, Judy, everyone that's listening in archives, not here right now.
Amen.
Mishmash, well, Carol's there in chat, Dave, Marianne, everybody, RCC, I love you all. We're going to be in the air. ITA, I say today. Thank you, Jesus, as always say. I always say today. So thank you, Jesus, for bringing us home today. And we know, Lord, if you take Geraldine, that we're going to be, Mama Pat is going to be up there right behind her in the elopture. So it will be soon that she will see her again, very soon, like days, seconds. It may not even, in heaven time, it may never be any time past. anyway. Yes, I love you all. I love you all. I love you, Jesus. I love you, the Father. I love you, Holy Spirit. I am on my way to work. I have to work at 6. So.
Okay. Well, I'm glad we were able to talk to you. Yep. I think a lot of us have the basic idea. Pat's daughter is not doing well. It looks like it's pretty serious. So we will see what the Lord brings there, but at least Mama Pat, who just got home not very long ago, she sent me a text and said that she had just gotten home and she was going to get a chance to get a real rest. Some of the family members were going to be at the hospital tomorrow. And I think, in a sense, that she's getting a little bit of a break from the responsibility of somebody in the hospital, too, which is wonderful because she's really She steps up every time. She steps up. So that's kind of what I had there. We do have another guest in chat. And then
I was going to say, if the Lord heals her, which he's capable of doing miracles, and maybe he will. We don't know what he's going to do. He healed her to perfection, so Mama Pat doesn't have to deal with any of these stresses anymore that she had to deal with before. So he just heals her completely, every nook and cranny of her body, completely back to normal.
Because we don't have our Mama Pat's inner stress. No. Well, you know what? Some of the communication I have had with her, I think yesterday, I think Mama Pat's doing pretty well with this. At least well enough that other people in her family are seeing that she has a kind of confidence and peace in the circumstances that they do not have. And so her countenance is a testimony even now to her family members. And she will cherish that because she's concerned about each and every one of their spiritual conditions. So it's a real testimony to them. And God will use it in as many ways as possible, and whatever decision he wants to make. I don't want to take something personal and make it too much of a garage kid thing, but the timing of this fitting right into the middle of our watch time here in March, which is getting ever more interesting, this has been something that's been building for Pat for a few weeks, and it's sort of coming to a crescendo right in the middle of when some days are coming up that we've been looking at for quite a while now. And there's some interesting things that that I realized today, some of which has gotten quite a lot of talk. I haven't seen anybody else mention this, but for one of the things. On the title page of the show today, I was very indirectly led to a verse to put in the show today. It's very sort of odd for me. And I ended up at Ephesians 6:4, and that verse is, "Fathers, don't stir up anger in your children, but bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." Many of us are certainly familiar with that verse. And this is, however, I think he was sending a different message than the most obvious one, because he led me to this verse very indirectly. And immediately when I read the verse, immediately I was given to consider that this could be a message from him to us, in that he is our Father. And as such, he doesn't want to stir up anger in us, and he wants us to be bring about. So he wants us in a good countenance with him, and he wants to lead us in a way that we are not overly challenged. He's allowed us, especially here in our Raptor-centric church, to be especially challenged, and we understand that. I guess we're up for it. That's the only way I can. Anyway, apparently we're up for it. But the thing is, he is our Father, and today I believe his message to me for us was, he doesn't want to stir up anger in us, which is akin to frustration. So I think, while we've all had our moments here, I also think a lot of us are having a sense of pretty strong peace, even in our urgency or difficulty. We want to be on out of here. But I think this is his message to me, that he was going to take his own advice and not draw us out too much farther. What that means, I'm not sure. It could mean an indication of blessings in the midst of things. It could be the ultimate blessing, which we're anticipating and looking and waiting for. I'm not sure exactly what that is, but I do believe it's an indication, a message from him, that he is not going to overly challenge us, and he is going to take our circumstances into consideration in how he asks us to do this. Okay. The other thing I have on the title page, I said the 8th of March. Carol, actually, who's in chat, had mentioned several days ago about the Ides of March, the assassination of Julius Caesar. That is a piggyback day to our March 16th date set, and then the 23rd. Seeing a lot of things that certainly are raising my interest about the messages that different people are getting. And I don't just mean, you know, like YouTube messages. I mean things that I'm seeing around that reinforce for me in my personal experience the poignancy and the time that we're in. What I am meaning here by the 8th of March, tomorrow, of course, is the 8th of March. And I realized today, I was seeing an article, in fact, Paul Bakley did a fun take on the video about the total eclipse tomorrow, and mentioning this asteroid called TX68, which the modeling for that, according to the information NASA has provided the public, has been all over the place. It was originally scheduled to be here on the 5th, and then, you know, they changed how close it was going to be, and then they said, oh, no, it's not going to be here till the 9th, and then they changed it again, and then eventually, very recently, they've ended up at the 8th. So tomorrow, and, of course, at some places, the 8th of March has already begun, this asteroid is supposed to make a close approach to Earth, but it's been in the news as much because of how much the prediction has changed. And then, of course, there's a total eclipse of the sun, the only one this year. It is on the 8th or the 9th of March, depending on where you're at in the world. And for us, it is the 8th of March. And for people across the date line, it's the 9th of March. And the other 8, meaning the 8th of March events that came to my mind, was actually the Malaysian airliner, MH370, that disappeared. The 8th of March will be the 2-year anniversary of the disappearance of that airline, which has yet to be conclusively found. I find it interesting. I know at the time, and I think several people felt, that the disappearance of that airliner was prophetic, that there was something beyond, oh, there's Faith, hi Faith. I don't know, I actually felt like, I mean, I would say spooky, but it was really just a spiritual quickening, because, of course, no, it wasn't spooky. But it just seemed that, you know, a major airliner like that just doesn't disappear. Now, you know, my perspective on it has always been that it probably was hijacked, not by a rogue pilot, but electronically. And probably there was something, you know, a lot of intent there. However, I do think that just the disappearance, the fact that it happened on that day, now, 2 years later, we see a total eclipse, which is meaningful for us, certainly me personally. Total eclipse of the sun, a day of the total eclipse, or an annular eclipse of the sun, was the day I succeeded in signing into chat for the very first time here at RCC. I knew that it was meaningful. I wasn't sure exactly in what way, but I knew it was meaningful. Anyway, so here's a total eclipse of the sun on the 9th of March and the 8th of March. And now we also have this close pass by the asteroid. And I'm beginning to wonder about the wandering data for this asteroid. was it really so hard to nail down, or were they just simply not wanting to place the date on the same day as this total eclipse? Because first it was a few days before it, and then it was a day afterwards, and finally they settled on this day, where they're saying it's going to pass. I know that as I've watched these things over the years, these relatively newly found asteroids, these close approach asteroids, the list of them, and sometimes the modeling isn't very precise, but I can tell you that having sort of just followed this for a while, this kind of information, that they've had, on ones where they've had much less information, they have had much more accurate and steady predictions. And it turns out that their rough modeling from a very little information has been actually on much smaller objects, by the way, which are harder to track, has been much more precise than this sort of roundabout jump all over the calendar and placement for this particular asteroid. So that whole thing has been weird. Paul Begley's amusing take on it today was because the eclipse is happening, will happen first in Asia and be seen in Asia first on the other side of the dateline, and then will be seen on the 8th of March in the Western Pacific. He said that we're going back in time. The total eclipse is taking us back in time. So that was kind of amusing. But so those three things, the anniversary of the MH370 happening on the 8th of March 2 years ago, and then the total eclipse tomorrow, and this asteroid close pass, which there's definitely other debris out there. We're continuing to see videos of our fireballs and things being recorded. Although I did see one video where it was reported that it was a fireball over Yellowstone, and one of the Old Faithful camera overnight showed this bright object going through the sky. That was no fireball. I don't know what it was, but it was no fireball. I don't believe. It didn't look at all like a fireball. It looked more like a steady light. And anyway, that wasn't a fireball. Now, the other event that was pictured in the same video did appear to be an earthquake lightning type thing on one of the little peaks there, I think behind Old Faithful. So that's pretty much what I had for today. I'm finding some things that are, you know, sort of interesting to me at the moment. I don't think there's really anything to present at the moment. You know, there is one thing that I have up here. Actually, there were two things. I saw this in the news today. I think you're going to not see much. I think if you search for it, you may have some trouble finding it. It was relatively front page news. This morning it was reported an aircraft that had taken off from Houston for London. I think it was United Airlines aircraft. Had to return to the airport because it hit a bird, and a bird was ingested into the engine. And they said there was a large plume of smoke coming out of the engine. It was very interesting because there was multiple pictures from people on the ground of this aircraft as it was circling around trying to come back in. This is the most direct evidence and picture of an aircraft I have ever seen that demonstrates chemtrails. This was an amazing couple of photographs from relatively low on the ground. Apparently, this system on this aircraft was set on a timer or something to go to start after a certain amount of time. After takeoff, and because this thing hit a bird and went into some other, you know, circling mode, I believe they actually dumped fuel or it burned some fuel. Anyway, the pictures that associated with this this thing, let me look this up right now. Let me see. Houston, Bird, United. I saved the pictures, okay, but it's not hard. It's hard for me to show them to United. White, Bird, Strike, March 7th. Let's see if we get a picture of this article. And no, let's see. This is some Charlottesville, Virginia. There's an article about it. A bird strike forced United Airlines ship bound for Germany safely returned to Houston. This is today. United spokesman, King says Flight 102 left George Bush Intercontinental Airport late Sunday afternoon. Okay, so the report was from today, but it was late Sunday afternoon. Boeing 767 landed in Houston, and let's see if we can find any articles that actually now, because they got caught on this one, that will show any pictures. Because there were multiple pictures of this aircraft in the sky, and I should go ahead and discuss, there's another article without a picture. And this thing is, because it's close enough to the ground, and because there's two views, at least pictures of the aircraft that were put in the first publication I saw this morning, you could clearly see that there were two strong plumes of smoke, or what they really were, chemtrail, that were emanating from the tops of the wings on each side. Far outboard of where the engines were, way outboard. It was quite clear that this trailing was coming right from the top of the wing, two-thirds of the way outside on the wing, and nowhere near where the engines were. And by the way, neither one of the engines were smoking, even though it reported that they were, because that was the explanation for the chemtrail. Okay, so there's a third article without a picture. Let's see. Let's try this. But in the first article I saw this morning, yes, there were. But here's a generic picture of a four-engine aircraft, which is not it. That's just a little bit. Let's see. K Houston, KJU. Here's the TV. Let's see it. Generic. I'm sorry, I probably should have done this. But, here's a picture. This one is from a distance. This is from khou.com, and you can at least see a picture, one of the pictures that I saw, and they show it in the video report. And you can see, this is hilarious, you can see, if you look at the video report, 20 seconds into it, you can see there's two huge streams of smoke, which what people would call smoke, they're chemtrailing, off near the tips, not at the tips, but way outboard on the wing, and nowhere near the engines. And so this aircraft had to return to Houston, and the system had been programmed to kick on. And you can see that this trail goes all the way up to the very top edge of the wing. And so there is no doubt whatsoever. So anyway... This is probably the best photographic proof of chemtrailing I have ever seen. And it occurred because people were taking pictures of this aircraft, streaming the smoke, right? There's been a bird strike. So people look, oh, let's take it. The engine, look, the engine's smoking. No, look, both engines, no, both, neither engine was smoking. They shut one engine down, and then they returned. But the pilots, what I've read here is the pilots don't have control. In fact, many times they don't even realize that these chemtrailing systems are on board their aircraft. They're completely automated and disassociated from any of the pilot's knowledge or controls, is my understanding from what I've read. And so they're probably like, you're trailing smoke, did it, United, whatever, 102. I said, well, we shut the engine down, da 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 da. Anyway, I'm sure that they're going to scrub this as much as they can, because this these pictures, you cannot deny that there's something very strange going on in the nature of chemtrails. It's a Boeing 767. So it's really, in fact, I'm going to take the link to that. I'm just going to go ahead and put it in the chat for that story. Now, I had to get the four links and the on this story. So you're going to have, if you want to look it up yourself, keep going deep into the list, but because they're not really going to want people to examine the photographs that are going with this story. But if they're too aggressive about it, that'll raise questions too. And those pictures are of the aircraft in question. This is not, those were not generic aircraft. So that was actually March 6th that event occurred. So, anyway, I found that fascinating. And then the other thing is a totally biblical thing that I had that I wanted to mention, and that is I was led back to the word for the basket that Noah or Moses was placed in, which is Tevah in Hebrew, as well as the word for Noah's Ark, which is the same word, Tevah, H-E-392, Strong's, Tevah. In both cases, they mean Ark, which is, a container. Noah's Ark was quite large, and Moses' basket was quite small by comparison. But basically, this Ark means a box. The word for Ark for the Ark of the Covenant is a different word. And I'm going to give you sort of my translation for it, not that I'm trying to deviate really, but what I'm really doing here is if you look up the word that's that we see as Ark in English for the Ark of the Covenant is an Ark. So this is a random teaching. Sorry, for the randomness anyway. But the word means, what it really means is harvest. It means like a reaping, a cutting, what have you. But if you if you extrapolate just a little bit, what this really is inferring is it is a box for your harvest. It's not just a box, Tevah, like the basket or Noah's Ark. It's a harvest basket. In other words, it's a container into which you gather your harvest. And remember that it's called the Ark of the Covenant. Now, this was the Old Covenant, and then we know that there's a New Covenant, and we know that there's an ingathering of the New Covenant. And was intriguing me with about this. In fact, this goes straight to something else I think I was looking at today for a different topic. Nevertheless, it's processing as I'm speaking here. But the point is, the Ark of the Covenant, in the word infers that it is for a harvest. It actually is like a killing, but it's implying it's a harvest. In other words, a cutting, a reaping, an ingathering. So it's an ark of the, it's an ingathering basket. It's a gathering basket for the harvest. And then if it's an ingathering basket for the harvest of the covenant, then you can begin to understand why that intrigues me a little bit. And I don't know if I can, getting the connection here in my head, I don't know, I wasn't really prepared to mention this. they were also, I was doing a little bit of garage work, and I was led to, you know, I reference let's go to Exodus 40 and verse 1. I'm just going to read a few verses here. Then the Lord said to Moses, set up the tabernacle, the tent of the meeting, on the first day of the first month. This will be the month Nisan, where Passover occurs. And then set up the tabernacle, the tent of the meeting. Now, if you go, anyway, and then the next verse is, place the Ark of the Covenant law in it, the Ark of the Covenant law in it, and shield the Ark with curtain. Bring in the table and set out belongings on it. Then bring in the lampstand and set up its lamps. Place the gold altar of incense in front of the Ark and Covenant law and the Ark of the Covenant law. This is the HCSB translation. And put the curtain in the entrance to the tabernacle. Place the altar of burnt offering. This string of instructions is, it immediately took me to the symbolism of Revelation and also Ezekiel, where it says, place the Ark of the Covenant. Now, think about this. When I say the Ark of the Covenant here, think the ingathering of the covenant. So I'm going to go back and read this. The Lord said to Moses, set up the tabernacle, the tent of the meeting. The meeting, by the way, that word is Moed, which is appointed place, appointed time, a meeting, appointed meeting, appointed place, tent of meeting. So, okay, so, but, and overall, the most frequent usage, the most frequent translation of that word is congregation, and it occurs in a very Elijah pattern like 150 times. It is the most frequent translation of this word, congregation. So, I don't know. To me, these little subtleties do have meaning. And so, let's go back and insert that as well. Set up a tabernacle, the tent of the congregation, on the first day of the first month. Well, what is the tabernacle? The tabernacle is the, and the tent of the congregation is the Holy of Holies. It's the establishment of the Holy of Holies in which the Ark of the Covenant is placed. Now, we understand as believers, we are containers of the Holy Spirit, and our physical bodies represent the old-time temple and tabernacle. Now, this looking up something else right now, real time, sorry. Now, the word set that means set up in that verse, which is just verse 2, 3, 2, 2, it's kum. It's Strong's H6965. And the most frequent manner that that is translated means stood, rise, etc., or rise up. And for 240 times, it means to rise up or to be stood up. Okay. So, if we are the tent of the congregation, our bodies are, I'm wondering if the first day of the first month here could be a clue for rapture time. Of course, this would be true in a year, and we have to have the year correct. Nevertheless, this is, I could even be seen as a rapture verse. Set up, rise up, the tabernacle, the tent of the congregation, on the first day of the first month. This would be the first day of Nisan. Place the ingathering of the covenant law and shield it with a curtain. In other words, hide the ingathering. And then it says, bring in the table and set out what belongs on it. Then bring in the lampstand and set up its lamps. And everything that John describes in Revelation is around the lampstands. And in the midst of the lampstands was one like the Son of Man, Jesus. So this, to me, is reading very much like Revelation and the beginning of John's vision, where he is caught up. I was in a vision of the Lord on the Lord's day. I was immediately caught up. So I think this, what John experienced and wrote about, reflects directly on these instructions to Moses in Exodus 40 about how to set up the tabernacle and then establish the lamps and do all the, and this is the very beginning of all the ritual cleansing and everything else. But remember what it says here, it says, place the altar of incense in front of the Ark of the Covenant Law and put the curtain at the entrance to the tabernacle. In other words, veil the entrance, because those who are not within it are cut off from that entrance. And then it says, place the altar of burnt offering in front of the entrance to the tabernacle, the tenth meaning. Those who don't go in the rapture are going to face some refining by fire, whether it's literal fire or whether it's stress or other challenges in their lives. They are going to be here as the wrath of God pours out. But the very next verse is, place the basin between the tent of the meeting and the altar and put water in it. Water still represents salvation, the Holy Spirit, protection of God. And so, and then it says, set up the courtyard around it and put the curtain at the entrance to the courtyard. And this reference is also one of the instructions that John was given to measure the inner and the outer courtyard. I believe this Exodus 40 is definitely representative of what John experienced and saw when he wrote Revelation, particularly overly all of Revelation. So I just thought I'd mention that. We're about out of lifetime. Tana hopped off probably. Oh, she got to work. So that's right, Carol. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's right. So, Pooh, now just do the calendar. Just a minute here before we go. But the first of Nisan, by the way, is April 9th. So I find that interesting. I don't know what our timing is going to be. I really know. I mean, I just know there's a lot going on right now. I'm not trying to set it. I didn't on purpose admit it. I was actually looking for... Actually, I don't even remember what started me looking at the first month, but something did. Anyway, I do know what it was. I was simply looking up the word for ark, the two different words for ark in the Old Testament, and I found that verse, and it's very pretty to me. So anyway, that's what I have. I think we're going to run out of our lifetime and probably not go very much longer. I didn't have much today. But we wish Mama Pat well. Continue to keep her and her family in prayer, and Gerald and Gerald's children, and so on. And we know God is completely in it, but we still want to keep them in love and prayer. So we will. See you in the air, or up in the air, or on the show tomorrow, and maybe something else interesting will come up at that point today or tomorrow that we can talk about then. Let's check back in one more time there. Got that. And so that's what I have for today. I'm going to play a little bit of music, a little bit of worship, and then send us out. I don't think that there's really anything else. I know. I want to... I want to play something that I know Pat would like. She won't be able to listen to this in the archives, but we're definitely thinking of her, and this is a song that she she asked me to put in the studio a very long time ago. So we'll do this and a little more worship, and God bless you all.
Thank you. dare to dream. Really do come true. Someday I'll wish upon a star and wake up where the clouds are far behind me. Where troubles melt like lemon drops away above the chimney tops, that's where you'll find me.
Spirit in the bride, say come. Spirit in the bride, say come. Come, glorious Father, come, King of kings, Lord of all creation, Lord of everything, who was and is to come, the risen Lord. We want to be with you today forevermore. Come, glorious Father, come, King of kings, Lord of all creation, you're the Prince of Peace. Your bride awaits for you with heads uplifted high. Today we look for you, our champion in the sky. Spirit and the bride, say come. Spirit and the bride, say come. Today we welcome you, Lord.
Worthy is the Lamb who was and is to come. Today we welcome you, Lord, come. Spirit and the bride say come. Come, glorious Father.